We didn't because we got caught up in so many things in living life that we failed to understand what's ahead. So kind of remind us tonight how important it is for us to think about heaven. In Colossians chapter 3, you should be there at this time. Let's read together verses 1 through 4. It states there, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above and not on things of the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." Now, I want to go back to verse 2, because I think that's a very interesting verse, how it's said there. Set your mind on things above. In other words, the focus, the singular focus was heaven. Now, think about this. If our singular focus is heaven, will we be living in such a way so that we can get there? And I believe the answer is yes. So we need to set our mind on things above. Now, when we talk about heaven, we don't have a whole lot about it. We have some glimpses of what heaven's going to be like, but that's where we're focused on the earth. So we look things by earthly terms, and heaven is a spiritual place which is going to be forever. So let's just look at a few descriptions of heaven as we look at what we're thinking about. In John chapter 14, turn with me, if you will, to the book of John. In John chapter 14, Jesus promises there's going to be this place called heaven. He talks to his disciples there, beginning in verse 1. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. For where I am, there you might be also." Now, a couple of things here that take note as I look at these passages. First of all, Jesus promises there's going to be a place for us. Also, as you continue looking at that, notice what it states in verse 3. Where I am, there you might be also. So you're going to be with the Lord. How wonderful is that going to be? Can you even comprehend that in your mind? Where he is, that's where we're going to be as he prepares his place. As we continue to look in the scriptures, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, 30 years ago when I preached this, it didn't mean as much to me as it does today. I wonder why that is. Oh, I know. I'm 30 years older from 30 years ago preaching this. And being 30 years older, my body's not the same as it was. So the older I get, the more I appreciate what Paul is stating here in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 through 57. Let's read that together, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning verse 51 through verse 57. "But I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised up incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible," talking about our physical body, "must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, if I was to read verse 58, that's where the therefore comes in. Therefore, since that's what we look forward to, live like you should. Live like you're going to heaven. That's verse 58. But in verses 51 through 57, this corruptible body is going to be put on incorruption. What's it going to be like, as John said in 1 John? I don't know. If he didn't know, I surely don't know. But it's going to be incorruptible. Now, again, as we describe heaven, let's go to Revelation 21. I believe this is talking about heaven as you get to chapter 21 of Revelation. And we have recorded for us here in Revelation 21, verses 22 and 23. "But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city has no need of sun or of the moon or to shine in it. For the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. Now, as we live on this earth, we're always concerned about who's going to be around us. Are we not? If you have a neighbor down the road sell the house, what's the first thing you wonder? I wonder who's going to buy that house. Is it going to be someone I get along with? Is it going to be someone that I don't get along with? You're not going to have to worry about that in heaven. First and foremost, you're going to be in the presence of God and in the presence of Jesus Christ. That's how I understand that. There's no more temple. Now, remember, the church is talking about the temple in the New Testament. They're the temple. You're going to be in their presence. What all is involved in that, I have no idea. Again, my human mind cannot fully grasp that where I am going, it's going to be so wonderful, it's going to be beyond my expectation. I think, as I told you once before, but heaven is far, far, far greater than Disney World. But you talk to a little child about Disney World and they go bonkers, do they not? Well, we're going to go bonkers when we go to heaven because it's going to be far greater than that. You're going to be in the presence of the Father, in the presence of the Son. The prophets are going to be there. I don't know if we're going to mingle with them or not, but if we do, I have a lot of questions. Not that I disagree with anything, but I have a lot of questions. Think of who you're going to be around. Is it possible I would be able to talk to Isaiah? Wow. Is it possible I would be able to talk to Daniel? Is it possible I'd be able to talk to Paul or Steve? You get my point? You're going to be in heaven in the presence of God and in the presence of his Son. Think how valuable that is. And that's where we're going. We're going to a place called heaven. But let's look at the next point. In Revelation 21, verses 3 and 4, it states, "And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and be his people. God himself will be with them and will be their God." Verse 4, "And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain." Why? Because remember 1 Corinthians 15, former things have passed away. Can you imagine no pain, no suffering, no death? That's what we await as we consider heaven, how wonderful that place is going to be. So when we get discouraged and we get upset, and we all get discouraged from time to time, go back and remind yourself where you're going. God has made it available that you and I get to go to heaven through the blood of Jesus Christ, of course, but that's where we're going. That needs to be set in our mind. It needs to be set like stone in our mind that I'm heading to heaven. Again, one more passage. And Titus chapter 1, let's go to Titus chapter 1 and verse 2. We have recorded for us here as Paul writes to Titus and talking about what's going to be like heaven. In Titus chapter 1 and verse 2, it simply states this, "In the hope of what? Eternal life, which God who cannot lie promised before time began." Again, that's mind-boggling to me, eternal life. We read about it. We focus on it, we look forward to it, but our little puny brains, maybe yours does, my little brain doesn't understand eternal life. For instance, and no disrespect for some of you that are older than me, when I was in my 30s, I thought someone who was in their 60s were old. When I got in my 40s, late 40s, then 75, 80 became old. Now that I'm 69, I don't even think of old anymore. I think I'm old. But we're not going to worry about that. We don't have to worry about how many birthdays we're going to have in heaven because we're going to live there eternally. I can't comprehend that. I can't comprehend eternal life because we deal with things in time. We deal with minutes and seconds and hours and days and years. That's all gone. And not only that, we're going to be in a place where there's no pain and no suffering. What all are we going to do? Will we sing? Sure. Will there be other things we do? Perhaps. God didn't give us the details on that, but I'm not worried. Where else would you want to go? The other lesson would be hell. We're not talking about that tonight. But the point is this. As a child of God, as a Christian, I need to set my mind where I'm going. And that is, I'm going to heaven. Now, for those of us who are older in years, we ought to be thankful we've lived on this earth this many years, and who knows how many more years God will give us. But don't fret. Don't fret about that. Because we're all heading towards a better place if we stay attuned to God and his teachings. We get to go to heaven. No wonder why Stephen could die the way he did. He knew there was something that was better that awaited him. How wonderful that is. And that being said, that shows our desire. Our desire, when we think about heaven, what little bit we have about it, when we think about it, man, that's where I want to go. I don't deserve to go there. But by the precious blood of Christ and submitting to his teachings and getting that blood, I get to go to heaven. It's like going to a 10-star hotel that you don't deserve. I remember one time we went on one of our few vacations, just Susan and I. And people must think I'm a country bumpkin. We went to this big city, and we got there early. We brought our suitcases in. And they said, well, Mr. Cousins, we've changed your reservation. Oh, no, 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 I don't want that. I know what I'm paying for this room. I don't want to pay more. We, instead of being on the 23rd floor, you're going to be way up in the 40s. Oh, no, no, just keep, I don't want to pay the, well, of course, somebody did me a favor, and I got moved up. God's done us a favor, not to the 40th floor. Name whatever floor it is. You get to go to heaven. Don't complain to him. Be thankful and have that desire. Oh, and by the way, it was a wonderful room. And I'm glad I didn't have to pay what they had to pay per cost on that, because my amount was a lot cheaper than the floor that I was on. Heaven, whatever your best experience that you've had on this earth is not going to compare a fingernail to what heaven's going to be like. So think of your best experience, and heaven's going to be 100 times better than that. I really believe that. I don't understand it, but I'm looking forward to it. And that being said, that gives us the desire. Hebrews 13. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 13. In Hebrews chapter 13, and you know, while you're turning here, this is why I really feel bad while you're turning to Hebrews 13. I really feel bad for the Jehovah's Witnesses, because they don't want to go to heaven. They really don't. They believe, quote, the 144,000 have made it there. The 144,000, the door is closed. And today, if you become a Jehovah, they don't push heaven. That's why when I have talked to them, they come to my door, I tell them, listen, you don't have anything I want. I have something you should want. I have the hope of going to heaven. You don't have that hope. You think you're going to live forever on this earth. And I can show you in Peter, that's not going to happen. I get to go home to heaven. We want to talk about that group, but I'm just saying how sad it is that they're stripped from the hope of going to heaven. How wonderful heaven will be. We find in Hebrews 13, or Hebrews 12, 13, and 14, 13, 14, and 15. I'll get it right. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. Now, usually I just use verse 15 to show that we sacrifice praise from our lips. And that's what it's teaching. But did you see which it follows, the verse it follows? It follows, we have no continuing city. We seek one to come. So this is what leads us to what? The sacrifice of praise to our lips. Praise God, I get to go to a place far better than where I live right now. And I live in a wonderful place right now. But let's go on. We eagerly await. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3. And Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, it states, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also earnestly, from which we eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice eagerly wait. Do we eagerly wait for Jesus? Because when he comes, if we happen to be here, where's he going to take us? He's not going to keep us here on this earth for 1,000 years. We're going to go home to heaven with him. Right? He goes on to state in the next verse, who will transform our lowly body that it might be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Again, where's our citizenship? Our citizenship's in heaven. We're just pilgrims and strangers here. We've got a far better place that we are going to, again, showing our desire. Turn with me, if you will, to Romans chapter 8. By the way, when you get to Romans chapter 8, I want you to put something there. Put your string that you have in your Bible or put the bulletin, put something there. So put something in Romans chapter 8. And once you put something in Romans chapter 8, as you look on the chart, I want you to go to 2 Corinthians. So we're going to read 2 Corinthians first. You've gone to Romans 8. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. And 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 28. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verses 23 through 28. Here we have Paul stating some of the things that he had gone through. Here's what it says in Corinthians. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool, I more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often. In perils of water, and perils of robbers, and perils of my own countrymen, and perils of the Gentiles, and perils of the city, and perils of the wilderness, and perils in the sea, and perils among all false brethren. Verse 27, in weariness, and toil, and sleeplessness often, and hunger, and thirst, and fastings often, and cold, and nakedness. I want to stop here. Who wants to get involved in that? Who wants to take Paul's place? Did he have a difficult life? Let's go back to Romans. In Romans 8, in verse 18, what does he say here? He said, for I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that should be revealed in us. What's he talking about here? He's talking about heaven. He's talking about heaven, isn't he? He said, whatever he's gone through, and I tell you, he's gone through a whole lot more than I've even come close to. He said, that's not even worthy to be compared with what awaits. Wow. How wonderful is heaven going to be when Paul, and by the way, remember, he was caught up to the third heaven. Didn't get to speak what he saw there, but he was caught up there. So he even probably had a greater glimpse than what we do. But he said what he went through wasn't worth it. So will you go through some things? Absolutely. Will you go some for physical adversity? Absolutely. Might your health deteriorate? Absolutely. But where are you going? You're going to heaven if you're a faithful child of God. How wonderful that is. Now the trouble is our society thinks everybody's going to heaven, and we know that's not true. But if we're faithful to the Lord, we're going to heaven. And that is far greater than whatever suffering you or I go through now. And that's why we're not to lose heart. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Now see, time won't permit me to do all the verses we should be reading. But when, for instance, you're in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, before we read verses 16 through 18, I just want you to note, if you were to go back a few verses, verse 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. You can see all the adversity he was going through. So he's talking about all the adversity he's going through, but then in verse 16 he says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet our inward man is being renewed day by day. And then he says something that is just mind-boggling to me in verse 17. For our light affliction. Now, is there anyone in this audience who would say Paul had light affliction? I sure wouldn't. But that's what he compared it to what he's going to gain. Get the point? Whatever affliction, it's light affliction compared to what awaits us. No wonder why the Ethiopian eunuch went his way rejoicing. Because now he had the blood of Christ covering him, and now he's heading to where? He's heading to heaven. He goes on about the light affliction. Our light affliction is what, but for a moment, is working in us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Here's the key, verse 18. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You may have heard this illustration before, but I'll just give you an abbreviated version of it. It's about an older man who is in the hospital. It's his last days. And his grandson comes in, and he wants his grandson to briefly write a letter to one of his closest friends. And the grandson is there, and like young people are, kind of impetuous, and Gramps didn't say much for a period of time, and so he decided to start the letter for his grandpa as to the letter. And he started the letter, "I'm still in the land of the living." And the grandfather paused and said, "No," he said, "erase that." He said, "I'm in the land of the dying, and I'm heading towards the land of the living." That's true. Right now, you and I are in the land of dying. We will not be here forevermore. But where's the Christian heading? To the land of the living. How wonderful that is, that we have that available to us through the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus and through submitting to his teachings. I tell you what, why am I a Christian? First, yeah, I want the remission of my sins, but I'm kind of selfish. I'm a Christian because I want to go to heaven. I want to have heaven. I want to be in the presence of God. I want to be in the presence of Christ. He's promised that. Now, has God ever lied? No. So we know it's true, even though I've not been there, even though I can't grasp it with my physical hands, by faith I know it's there. So we have this desire of going on to have heaven. Now, so what we have a glimpse of what heaven's like. We have a glimpse of this eternal body. We have the desire that's ours. And that should lead us to this next point, and that's determination. When I know what awaits me, now's not the time to take it easy. Now's the time to keep on moving on. Let's go to some passages along those lines. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. I always tell Susan this, and I see nothing wrong with it, but her and my children do. I said, "Well, if this is my last night, babes, this is what you need to do." She said, "Quit saying this, quit saying this." But quite frankly, none of us know. I mean, God hasn't given me a little postcard telling me when it's going to happen, but none of us know. The point is, while I'm still here, I need to keep on pressing forward. And 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you might obtain it. For everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things." Now, they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we an imperishable. Okay, that should give you a hint. If we're looking for an imperishable crown, where's that at, people? That's in heaven, right? The imperishable crown's not here. Then he goes on to state, "Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it to subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should be disqualified." Keep on running. Now, your running, spiritually speaking, might not be the same as it was when you were 30 years old, but keep on running. Keep on doing the best you can. Keep on studying. Keep on praying. Keep on growing. Keep on being focused to what awaits. One of the sad things I see living in the state of Florida, which we would agree, there's a lot of older people in Florida. One of the things I've observed living in the state of Florida, there's a lot of grumpy people. I'm not saying you're grumpy, but there are a lot of grumpy people in Florida. You look at some of these older people, and man, if you were a child, their face would scare you to death just the way they look. As a Christian, don't be a grumpy person. Enjoy that you're here and know where you're going. I get to go home to heaven. Do you believe that? I do. Then live like it. Run. Do your best. Make sure you don't lose that crown. Make sure you're not disqualified. We'll be talking about this later on when we talk about once saved, always saved. But the point is, do you know where you're going? That's the problem. A lot of people don't know where they're going. What's the purpose of life? Live for Christ, go home to heaven. That is the actual biblical response to that question. Purpose of life, live for Christ, go home for heaven, to heaven. You can't do better than that. Again, let's go to another passage. 1 Timothy chapter 6. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12, we have recorded for us here. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life to which you were called, also called, and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Look at fight the good fight of faith to do what? Why do we fight the good fight of faith? Look at that. So that we can lay hold on what? Lay hold on eternal life. By the way, where's eternal life? It's not here on this earth. It's in heaven. So you fight that good fight of faith so that you can go home to heaven. Now you say, well, this is just a lesson for old people. No, 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 no. Because people die at all ages, do they not? It's not just old people. What's the purpose of life? Live for Christ, look to heaven. By the way, there's a lesson for one of you guys out there if you want to do that. Good purpose of Christ. Live for Christ, look to heaven. Again, keep on fighting. One other passage, our determination, Philippians chapter 3. Philippians 3, 13 and 14. There we have recorded for us here in Philippians 3 and verse 13. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things that are above. I press toward that goal for the prize. What do you think the upward call is? That's heaven, right? I press toward the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now let me ask you this, and I'm not trying to be cavalier about this. As if I am a faithful child of God, and if you're a faithful child of God, we don't even have to fear death. Now, I will concede we wonder how it's going to occur. For some of us, it might occur we go to sleep one night and don't wake up. That's the way I want to go. If God gave me a chart, I said, this is the way I want to go. My son said, no, that's not going to happen for you, Dad. He's going to keep you on this earth because you always want to go home to heaven. You're going to have a lot of things fall apart in your life. No, he don't say the fall apart, but the older you get, you fall apart. But whatever the case, I get to go home to heaven. So what should I be doing? I should be pressing toward that goal. Instead of worrying about what I can't do any longer, be thankful for where you're going and do what you can. How about that? Be thankful for where you're going and do what you can. I'm thankful you've allowed me to preach here. I'm older in years. I think I can be valuable, but I think young people can be valuable. I think it works both ways. You do the best you can. You see this running the race, this pressing forward? We're not in competition. We're helping one another to do what? To go to heaven. And it should make us be happy type of people, and maybe others will see that in us. So as we close this evening, our hope, the hope of heaven, is the anchor of our soul. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 6. Sometimes people's anchor is not big enough, or they cut from the anchor because they can't explain some things. You know what I've learned as I've gotten older? There's a lot of things I can't explain. You know, when I first started preaching, I thought, well, I think I can. Give me time. Give me enough time, and I'll be able to explain. Oh, I was silly. You can have all the time in the world, and there's things you can't explain, right? But God doesn't expect me to understand and explain all things. So a lot of times on things I can't explain, what gets me, keeps me going? The hope. The hope of heaven. The hope that we have in God's Word. Again, if that hope is not there, then why in the world are we here tonight? You ever think about that? That hope is real. That hope was promised by God. In Hebrews chapter 6, let's read together, verses 18 through 20, that by two immutable things that it was impossible for God to lie, that we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold on the hope that is set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, from which enters the present behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become the high priest forever after the order. So we've already got the forerunner, Jesus, a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. You know where you learn of Melchizedek? That takes you all the way back to Genesis chapter 14. Our high priest is already there. He's waiting for us, or he might come back for us. But the hope is the anchor of the soul. I don't want anything bad to happen to you. I don't want anything bad to happen to me. I don't want anything bad to happen to our children and grandchildren. But people, we live in a world where a lot of bad things happen. If your hope is based on everything's going okay, you're going to fall flat on your face. Your hope and my hope has to be based on that hope of heaven itself. That no matter what comes my way, ultimately, I'm victorious through Jesus Christ. That's the hope. Isn't that wonderful? I'm not going to go into detail. Just say this. We lost our firstborn at 6 weeks. Now, they're in a safe condition. I know that he's got heaven. I know that. Because he was never in a lost condition. Now, many of you have suffered many, many worse things than that. What keeps you going? The hope of heaven. The hope that's the anchor of the soul to get you through the darkest of times that you can't even explain. How wonderful is that? You think our brethren in the first century went through some dark times? But they had the hope of heaven. Don't cut the anchor. Don't cut the hope. Again, we have Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Oh, by the way, if you're not living for Christ, show me the passage where it's beneficial to die. For to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. And when it talks about for me to live is Christ, one last passage as we talk about heaven is Hebrews 5:9. And being made perfect, he is the author of what? Eternal salvation. Where's that at? That's not here on this earth. That's in heaven, right? He's the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. Present tense. Not have obeyed, not will obey, but obey him. So if each and every day you're obeying him, you get to go home to heaven. How about that? And it's based on the blood of Jesus Christ. You need to repent and be baptized to come into contact with that blood, and then you need to be faithful, but you get to go home to heaven because of his blood. How wonderful is that? So many people are trying to have a comfortable retirement. Nothing wrong with that. You want to be comfortable? Live as a Christian. Because you can pillow your head every night knowing this. If perhaps I don't wake up tomorrow, God has promised me heaven through the blood of Jesus Christ. How wonderful is that? When you go through medical procedures, and again, I'm not making light. It's good. I mean, humans as we are get antsy when we have to go through medical procedures. I think I told you one time years ago I had melanoma on my shoulder. Don't ever diagnose your problems. So I diagnosed that. I looked up melanoma, and it was 0.04. That's the stage it was in. Well, my little brain just did 4. So I looked at melanoma stage 4, and guess what? It didn't look good. So I went to the doctor who was going to do surgery on my shoulder, and I just told her, I said, "Yeah, I'm not going for surgery. I'm at 4. There's really not much use to do." And she looked at me, and she said, "Who told you that?" I said, "I thought I heard 4. She said, "No." She said, "You got 0.04. It's very, very, very tiny. And we can go in there and get that out, and you'll do just fine." So what I'm trying to say, don't be silly like me. Unless you're a doctor, watch out while you diagnose yourself. I kind of felt like that one to get on Southwest Airline after she said that, because I made myself look like a fool. But even if it was four, I still have heaven. I still have heaven. I remember W.C. Hinton, who passed away of cancer. He had difficult days. No one's happy when you go through terrible illnesses. That's difficult. But he never cut the cord of his hope. And what we need to learn, brethren, don't cut the cord of that hope. That is yours. That's available to you. That's available to me. It'll help you live a better life here. And when all is said and done, you get to go home to heaven. How wonderful is that? If you're here tonight and you're not a child of God, we hope you would be. Again, not a child of God to what I conclude. Child of God to what God's Word has to say. You've got to put on Christ. And you put on Christ at baptism. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26, for you're all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Verse 27, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. You see, I was raised a Lutheran. I was raised believing that infant sprinkling was baptism. Are they sincere? Sure they're sincere. There's a lot of good Lutherans out there. But they're sincerely lost. Because that's not New Testament baptism. New Testament baptism is an immersion in water. It's a repenting of sins and immersion in water, and you put on Christ. So when my little brain finally figured that out, I was baptized. Brother Bob Archer baptized me for the remission of my sins. Why? Because sprinkling, though how sincere they are, is not New Testament baptism. And I've told you this before. My wife was raised Baptist. So they immersed. But they didn't immerse as the New Testament teaches. You first accept Jesus as your personal Savior, and then a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks, whenever they decide, they have a group of people become immersed. They really, and they don't say this per se, the leaders, but to them it's an outward sign of inward grace. It's to let others know that you've been saved. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches. So one can be immersed and still not be baptized, because they haven't followed the Lord's way of immersion. They haven't been baptized for the mission of their sin. So what I'm trying to say, you know, when people think of their baptism, they say, yeah, my baptism's right. Well, be careful about that. Make sure. Make sure it's in harmony with the New Testament. You don't want to miss heaven because you missed what God says about this important topic. So when she learned the truth, she was baptized. You talk about getting a lot of flack from home. She did. Well, Susan, you were immersed. And she's trying to tell him, yeah, but it's not New Testament immersion. What do you mean it's not New Testament? It's an immersion. Well, yeah, but it's not for the remission of sins. So she had to teach him. It took a long time to teach her mother. Her mother finally obeyed the gospel. What I'm trying to say, heaven is right there in your grasp. Don't be led astray that you don't obey God's plan. I'm not questioning that these people are not good people. That's not the issue. I'm not even questioning that they probably have a sincere heart. But you're not saved by sincerity. You're saved by the blood of Christ. I'm not trying to be rude and arrogant. But every one of us in this room ought to reflect back and ask ourselves this question. Is my baptism in harmony with Acts chapter 2? That they repented and were baptized for the remission of their sins. Not simply that they were immersed. That's silly. You can be immersed, or you can be saved before you're immersed. Where do you get that at? Then you're saved before you put on Christ. So it's very important. You say, well, why do you bring that up? Well, that's just Church of Christ idea. It has nothing to do with Church of Christ idea. It has to do with the teachings of the New Testament, what the Bible says. Again, I was not converted to the Berwyn Church of Christ. I was converted to Christ. And I keep on studying to be like Christ with each and every day. Now, I gave you that mini sermon because I don't want you to lose heaven. Heaven is right there for you. Don't miss out as we stand and as we sing.